is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie getting underway on EWTN Radio. Along with Debbie Giorgiani, I'm Jerry Escher. We have the show team in place. Rich, Jeff, Ryan is on the phones, and you're the key person. You always make the show go very, very well, and we're looking forward to that today at 833-288-3986. And Debbie, we're coming to people in a multitude of different ways, different manners, and that is just a result of some of the recent advances that man has made in terms of technological progress.
Yeah, the inventions, the discoveries that have really helped Christians to stay connected and to spread the gospel message. So we're asking the question today, this is what you believe, okay? What discovery or invention do you believe has most benefited Christians or Christianity in general, okay? So what do you believe about this? What do you think it is? You know, think of all the inventions, creations, different discoveries that have happened and where we are today in 2019 this year. What has benefited us as a Christian family? We want to hear from you. Share your take on this. And then the reason why, and so that we can learn and grow. 833-288-EWTN. Again, that's 1-833-288-3986.
And this could be pre-Christian too. You might be thinking, the discovery of fire was the greatest thing that has ever happened, ever, because it helped mankind in many, many ways, and it certainly has benefited the church. You might think it's running water. You might think it's the internet. You might think it's a scientific advance, maybe something in the medical field. But we're looking at these things. We had Tony, one of our great listeners, Debbie, emailed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Already sent in a comment through take2show.com. She thinks the printing press, Gutenberg press, was the greatest thing that has been able to help Christianity because of that we now have the Bible. So that's
right.
Good. That's a good take, really.
Yeah.
I like that.
Oh, Tony's awesome. I love hearing from her. She's awesome. Okay, so we want to hear from you. Your turn, okay? You have open phone line. You can get right in. You're going to speak to Ryan. He is wonderful to talk to. He's going to put you on hold. You get to slip right in. And here's the great thing about Take Two. When you call in and you are sitting on hold, you get to listen to everybody else. You get to listen to the show live. So if somebody else takes your idea, you don't have to say, you can just listen and then you know what to do. So it's an enjoyable experience to call into a talk radio show on EWTN. So we want to hear from you. 833-288-3986.
Yeah, I have really grappled with this question, Debbie, because I think there are so many inventions and discoveries and advances in technology and industry and medicine and so forth that have really been of great benefit to the church. If I had to nail it down to one, I would probably say, well, you know what, this is going to have mixed reviews because it can really be one of the most harmful things as well. But I think communications, and I'm going to make that a broad sweep of the brush. I'm going to say radio, TV, but also the internet. So when you take all these things together, it's so much easier to evangelize. There really aren't any corners of the world today. I hope and pray, I may be wrong, but that at least have not heard the gospel. So I would say, media technology. Of course, I've been in that for 39 years, so I'm kind of biased about that. What about you?
Definitely. I think the telephone. I just feel like when I'm a history buff, so going back into history and just learning about how when all of these inventions or creations came about, the advancement of the telephone really connected us very quickly and enabled us to communicate very effectively, and it kept us really united, if you will, because I think the telephone does that by nature, right? You get to share information, you communicate back and forth. And so, yeah, something about the telephone just always has intrigued me. And I was joking with you at the beginning of the show, Jerry, that, actually learned this in Catholic school, that a lot of, people believe that it was actually an Italian immigrant that actually came up with the first, invention
prototype.
Yeah, the prototypes of a telephone.
Is and that
then,
right?
Yeah, and then Alexander Graham Bell was the first to patent it. And then so there was like some kind of lawsuit and everything, and then he died. So, but I learned that in school, and I always thought, wow, that makes sense, though, when you think about it, because we as Italians, we tend to be very expressive, and we do want to communicate fast and well. And so that it would make sense to me anyway. Just thought I'd share that.
No, I love it. I love it. And we're looking forward to hearing all of your takes. Take two, family. 833-288-EWTN. Those last four letters correspond to 3986. Putting out a topic there for you today, just asking you to go back into your history studies or your just whatever you think in the entire history of the human race. If you could nail it down to one advancement or discovery or invention or what have you that has most benefited Christianity, what do you think that would be? Again, 833-288-3986. Maybe, you know what, Debbie, you're Italian. A lot of people, and this isn't a stereotypical thing because a lot of people love wine, but you always say you love a good glass of wine with your pasta and so forth.
Right.
So maybe someone will think that the invention of, how do you make wine? Is it a grape press or something like that? Or
yeah, you smash grapes.
But I don't think that was around. What, maybe was that around the time of Jesus, or did they just stomp them with their feet? They didn't have any gadgets to do it, right?
I don't know. When we were in the Holy Land, remember they saw the big containers?
Yeah.
Wine, and they
the
had
stone
like
jars,
the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had the yeah. best wine. That wedding feast at Cana must have been spectacular. Can you imagine going to Jesus and saying we're out of wine, and then he produces the best? I love that.
Yeah. And, you know, as our guide, Amr, told us over in the Holy Land, we went with Steve Ray and Janet Ray. Amr told us that a wedding, and many of you may know this, a wedding would go on for, what, about 7 days, I guess. And people just kind of set their lives and the world aside and spent 7 days celebrating the bride and the groom and the families mm-hmm. and the faith. And so it was within that context that Jesus did his first miracle. So I'll bet there have been a lot more expensive weddings since then.
Do you remember the I Love Lucy skit where she smashed the grapes and did that dance, that kind of dance around? Oh,
I'm
it was
sure
hilarious.
I saw it. I'm not recalling it immediately.
Oh, those were the good old days. Well, folks, we want to hear from you. What invention or discovery do you feel that really benefited Christianity in general, or benefited all of us as the faithful? It can be pre-Christian times, like Jerry was talking about, fire and water and all sorts of things. So we want to hear from you. Please don't sit this out. Don't be entertained by this conversation. We want to hear from you at 833-288-3986. And coming up first is Kathy in Pennsylvania. So hold on, Kathy. We can't wait to hear what you have to say.
Other EWTN programs, I'm going to mention one right now because I think so highly of the man. And so did Mother Angelica, by the way, because it's Father Mitch Pack with a host of Scripture and Tradition Sundays at 6 a.m. Eastern Time. Scripture and Tradition with Father Mitch Pack. I mentioned Mother Angelica in this context, Debbie, because as you know, and a lot of people know, she hosted EWTN Live for many, many years until she was not able to anymore. Mm-hmm. And then her replacement was Father Mitch. So not just anybody can step into that seat right there and fill Mother Angelica's shoes. So, but I just also have to say, in one of my visits to EWTN, and I went to the gym with Father Mitch, and he carries his language books with him. So he's conjugating Aramaic verbs and Greek verbs and all this as he's doing a set. He does a set, and then when he's waiting for his next set, he'll get his book out like this and be doing a little bit. And he does a set. So, I mean, he's a beast when it comes to learning stuff and sharing it with us. That's an endearing comment, too, by the way.
Right, right. That's a compliment. Okay, so did I share the Italian that I think that had partial – did I share his name? Because we're getting text message. If anybody wants to look it up, it's Antonio Meucci. And it's just interesting. Kind of – you know, I'm just a big history person, and it's just interesting. So that should make you all get some research in. Okay, Jerry, real quickly, I wanted to share our friend – Marianne from Virginia, she emailed in, and Marianne is the wife of Brad, who we've been praying for because he had a pretty deep surgery, extensive surgery, and he's back home. He's back home and doing well. So we're very, very excited. So listen to this email real quickly from Marianne, and she says, "Hi, Debbie and Jerry. This is Marianne from Virginia. Brad came home from the hospital on Tuesday night and is sitting in the kitchen having lunch and listening to your program. Hi, Brad. We're glad you're doing so well. We've been praying, and we're going to continue to pray till Marianne tells us to stop, which she probably will never tell us to stop. Okay. He thinks the most important invention was the radio and the internet so that we can all listen to EWTN. We thank you all for your prayers, and please keep them coming. We will, Marianne. Absolutely. And for you too, Marianne. Everybody's praying for you as well. Brad is doing well, but still has a long road ahead of him. Take care, and I'll keep in touch, Marianne. What beautiful. A great email. Yeah, it's so beautiful. Yeah. I love the Take Two family. We all rally around each other and help each other with spiritual support.
Yeah, I just want to say, too, Rich and Jeff and Ryan, our show team, and the others who help out, the Michaels, and you, the Take Two family, when you hear a praise report like that, it's not me and Debbie. You know, it's not Debbie and I who are doing this holy sort of an all-night vigil praying and stuff. We pray a lot, and every prayer that we offer for the intentions that you share with us. But it's everybody here. You know, it's not just some special gift that Debbie and I have. It's the entire Take Two family. It's you. So when Marianne shares what she just shared, you should say to yourself, wow, you know, we did it. We did this together. God, mm-hmm. God listened to all of us. So just wanted to get that out there because we are much more of a cohesive family than sometimes we might realize.
Right.
Okay.
And the other thing too, Jerry, that's interesting, you know, folks come to the Take Two family, ask for prayers. We want you to know that we continually lift up all your prayer intentions that are in the recesses of your hearts on a regular basis. We are the body of Christ, and we believe in that all the way until we take our last breath. So please remember that. We'll never stop praying for the Take Two family intentions. Okay. As promised, Jerry, Kathy has been waiting. She's first up in Glenmore, Pennsylvania, on listening on Holy Spirit Radio, and she's a first-time caller. Hi, Kathy. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I heard your question, and I think the internet is just a great tool. It's so expansive, and I have experienced recently. My husband passed away about a year and a half ago, so I started going out to dating sites again. And I saw one gentleman, and he said that he was a recovering Catholic, but very active in a Protestant church. And I thought, oh, that's nice. I'm not interested. But we did trade texts or something, or, you know, conversation content. And he asked me if I'd like to get together for a cup of coffee, and I said no. And then I thought, well, geez, this ministry that you're in called Catholics Coming Home, isn't this what we're about? So I reached out again. I said, you know what, I've reconsidered, and I would like to get together, and we'll debate theology. And so that led to a conversation that I told him about Catholics Coming Home. I invited him, and he came, and it was the very first time I saw him face-to-face. And he is now back at the church and is on fire as you could be.
Wow.
He comes to daily mass. He's gone to reconciliation. So that was just incredible. And then another person I met before him, I noticed he was kind of in the same general geographic area, and he said he was Catholic, and he hadn't been to church, and I'm very active. And I said, well, I'm going to Mass. You know, if you want to see me, I'll meet you at the baptismal font. So we met there, and, you know, that didn't work out too well, but we connected, and he was back at daily Mass every day. So, you know, I guess the point is, you know, God can use the technology of the current day to reach people if we're just open to let him work through us, because it typically isn't something that I would do, and I'm not one to, you know, pull people in. I'm one to just talk about my own experience, but I think the internet is very, very powerful.
I totally agree, and I'm just loving the fact that you have turned this into a little bit of a ministry there, you know, getting people to revisit the Catholic faith. And when you said about the first gentleman labeling himself as a recovering Catholic, I've heard that used a lot. Actually, a lot of celebrities who have left Catholicism use that. And it's really disturbing because it implies that there's something wrong with the rest of us who have stayed faithful and we believe in the tenets of the faith. And so I just love, Kathy, how you didn't shy away from that. You didn't say, okay, you thought, you know what, I'm going to take this on. And I do agree with you that the good Lord is using technology every which way he can to reach his children. Just real quickly, though, I want to go back because I pulled out our prayer book, our Take Two prayer book, and you had shared about your husband a year and a half ago, the loss of your husband. We're so sorry for that. It sounds like you are doing well, though, so that's great. If you would allow us, we'd love to put your husband's first name in our prayer book because we pray for the living and the deceased, Kathy.
Oh, I would love that. So his real name was, do you want it now?
Yeah, sure. I've got my pen out.
Okay. His real name is Fiorentino, F-I-O-R-E-N-T-I-N-O, but he goes by Patrick.
Okay. Wow, I love it. Okay, I put both in just to make sure I put one in parentheses. Okay, love it. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. What do you think, Jerry? I think it's great to just see how Kathy is, you know, connecting and using that platform to bring people, you know, a Catholics come home. I mean, what a great ministry.
Right, right. No, I agree too, Kathy. Kudos to you, because how many people are using the internet for very destructive things? And so it's like that with so many things. You know, God allows man to reach technological advancement such as the internet and other means of communication. And then, you know, it's up to us to be proper stewards of that and use it in a proper way. And you're using it in a glorious way. Look, there are going to be some souls in heaven, Kathy, very possibly because of what you've done and your use of that, the internet and those dating sites. So thank you, Kathy, very, very much for being our first caller here on the program. We appreciate that. You get our virtual first caller award.
That's right. That's right. Okay. We're big on virtual awards. They're very
virtual stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. It's cost
inexpensive to ship and, and to buy.
Right. It helps
Where
us.
Where are we going next?
Okay. We're going to. Can we just share real quickly that Don had called in? Don from Marion, Ohio, listening on St. Gabriel Radio, called to say that the printing press is the most important invention for Christian Bibles. And a lot of people are joining Don and everyone else on that, saying, yep, to definitely print the Bibles. We got to have spread the message. You know, everybody has to hear it. Everybody, that's scriptural. Okay, so up next, you wanted to know, Jerry, is Susie. And Susie's in Indiana on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Susie. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
So what do you think, Susie? What do you think has mankind, what achievement man has made that has been maybe the most beneficial for Christianity?
I think it's up and coming, but there's such a social interest in ancestry, DNA. For example, like the advances that they know, the Shroud of Turin. But I feel like the DNA testing that has been promoted by maybe a secular group, people aren't coming out of the woodwork that have been adopted and now trying to find their past. And I think it will bring up adoption kind of as a new wave pro-life again. There's all these women and men, and I've encountered a couple that have found their families and gone back to look at their mother's decision, say, in 1953 when there was no place like staying at home. People would go to sanitariums and go away and have babies, have support, finish their schooling, and give these babies up for adoption. And I think that if we can kind of advance with that and say, look, our history has been great about providing life for people, and now we can reconnect people with knowing our DNA. So I think that we could use that advance in science that way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of many wonderful scientific advances, and I've not delved too much into that myself, Susie, Debbie. I don't know if you have, but one of my brothers has, and every now and then he'll send a text or a Facebook message, hey, did you know that so-and-so was part of our family? And I said, no, I didn't. but what about you, Susie? Have you done that for yourself? Have you tried to, you know, get sort of reconnected with your roots back in the past?
Well, I feel like a lot of maybe 30-year-olds are giving it as a gift to their older parents. And what got me thinking of it is a really good friend called us the other day and said, guess what? We have an older sister. She's 64. We never knew she existed. A couple months later, they talked about how joyous she was to find out she had four brothers and sisters. She'd never met her mother, her biological mother. And then they found out later it was also the biological father of these other kids. And so she's been, like, spent a lot of her life without siblings. Her adoptive parents, I think, died when she was in her 20s. So this has been almost like a prodigal son in a way. And imagine maybe a lot of 6-year-olds who believe in abortion. But instead they could see and imagine what would happen to that baby in 60 years. They're going to be a loving part of the family. Maybe not, you know, that genetic family, but that it's such you know, like we need, Catholics, I think, need to provide like birthing homes again and adoptive sites, but maybe somebody that is right now pro-abortion would think twice about when we see somebody's life in a biography of the things they've accomplished because they've survived since 1952, you know.
Right. Wow.
It was a joyous reunion at our local friends here. So.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I'm glad you brought this up, Susie. It really gets you to think in a bigger way about your lineage, your history, you know, just the family dynamics going all the way back. We actually did a DNA ancestry for my family on my mother's side. My mother took the test, and then I took it representing my dad just to see, because we are 100% Sicilian. And if you look at the island of Sicily, right, it had a lot of different groups that had inhabited and taken over Sicily. So we wanted to find out, you know, what did we have, you know, in our DNA. And it was very interesting because so many of us in our family identify as we kind of lean towards the Greek side. And it turns out that in our DNA ancestry, we have a lot of Greek, you know, blood in us, which is very fascinating. So you can learn so much about it. And the only thing that I just want to say real quickly, and Jerry, tell me what you think about this, Susie too. These advancements are so great and can be used for the glory of God, for positive things to come out of our humanity to get us closer to God and on the road to holiness. But don't you also agree that there can be manipulation of this that can also flip it to where there's some really dangerous things that can happen? Human cloning and stuff like that. I mean, which is really, so it always is an interesting concept, wouldn't you say, Susie?
Yeah, it's a paradox of good and bad. And I'm a nurse, and I can see that just because somebody makes a new medicine doesn't mean you should try it. You know, so we have to constantly, pray for, you know, God's intervention with the scientists and the doctors, and knowing that, you know, healing comes from all things. And that, we can't be hoodwinked into believing that because a genetic test comes up with a child with Down's, you know. But again, I think if we focus on all the life that could come from the good of science, I think we'll see it, you know.
Yeah, it's a great reminder to us, Susie, that, you know, none of science, medicine, no human advances at all can be separated from ethics, first of all, but also from God's law, divine law, natural law. Even before we talk about, you know, church law and so forth, there's simply, even prior to that, there's natural law and God's law, divine law. Maybe they're all sort of one and the same. But the problem that we run into, Debbie, is and Susie, is that, you know, people get a little bit intoxicated on the idea that, well, this is now possible, or if it's not yet possible, maybe I'll be the one who invents it or develops it. I'm thinking of that the guy in China, Debbie and Susie, who what was it that he wanted to do? He wanted to clone, was it? You know who I'm talking about? Somebody help me here.
I had heard about it, Jerry, but you're talking about it was a cloning thing, and I was wondering if that was that real? Was that validated? Because somebody, I know it was going around the internet, and some people said that may not. Check on next on the next break. Check on that, because.
Sure.
But I know what you're saying. You know, somebody takes it to the next level. They want to be the first one to say, I did this in the world. And that can be dangerous, don't you think?
Yeah. Again, just because it can be done doesn't mean it should be done. And Susie, thank you. Great contribution to our discussion today. And Tom, you are next. And Kathy in Columbus, Ohio. Here's a phone number, 833-288-3986. What has mankind discovered, invented, or stumbled upon that you think has been most beneficial to Christianity? That's our question.
We're so glad you joined us on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. What do you believe is the greatest discovery or invention that has helped Christians? That's what we want to hear from you. Plenty of time for you to get on the show at 1-833-288-3986. And Jerry, you threw out a lifeline there saying, help me. And now I'm getting a lot of text messages of folks sending in saying that it has to do with something about cloning monkeys or something of that nature, baby monkeys or something to study depression or something.
But actually what I was referring to I was thinking about was the and Jane, thank you, Jane, one of our great listeners, and I found this during the break online too, so Jane, you're confirming it. The genetic variation, Chinese scientist He Zhongkui, if I said it right, he was trying to recreate when he edited twin girls' DNA, so it was genetically modified babies is what he was trying to come up with.
Oh.
And thankfully, most of the world basically said, dude, you can't do that.
Can't do that, yeah.
So
yeah.
At least we're still sort of at that point right now, yeah, in spite of all of our other ethical lapses and disasters. So.
And by the way, we as Catholics, we have non-negotiables, and human cloning is definitely one of them. So we have to be very careful. We have to be aware of that could be happening, and we have to work against that because the good Lord wouldn't be happy. Okay, there's a couple open phone lines. We want to hear from you. 833-288-3986. Let's move to Tom in Ellensburg, Washington on Sirius XM 130. Also a first-time caller. Hi, Tom, and welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Tom.
Hello.
What do you think?
Good morning, yes. So, okay, I think one of the greatest inventions of our modern age for Christianity and mankind is the ultrasound.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Because because it's life-giving and it's a tool that can be used and has been recently used and potentially will be used in the future for people in the, the pro-life movement to try to save, human beings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you're right, Tom. It is a tool for great, great use. And by the way, I'm a Knight of Columbus, so I got to make this plug. The Knights have put out, I think, thousands of ultrasound units in crisis pregnancy centers and elsewhere. But I agree with you, Tom. The ultrasound, if there was any shred of a doubt yet of what was taking place inside a lady's womb and through conception and so forth, this should really squash all of that. But unfortunately, like so many things, Debbie, it's easy to shun that, to ignore that, to try and debunk it, or what have you. So, and it's amazing. I think there have even been people who have seen ultrasounds of babies and still advocated for some sort of a radical pro-abortion position.
Pro-abortion.
So, but Tom is right on. This is a good take, Debbie, what Tom has here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love the advancement of ultrasounds and now the 3D ultrasounds, Tom, where you can see all of the angles of the baby. Amazing. I mean, and those are the facts. And so people really, when you see it firsthand, I mean, then you have to make, you would hope, the right decision on it. So for the pro-life mission and cause, absolutely. I also just want to say, Tom, I love ultrasounds in general for medical use because there's no real output of radiation and stuff like that and on other tests like scans and stuff like that. So I love ultrasounds. And I just want to say the ultrasound technology has actually helped me in my life. When I was diagnosed with cancer in 1994, I have ultrasound tests every year to see if anything has come back or metastasized. And so the ultrasound, I couldn't agree more, Tom. What do you think?
What do I think? I think if it saves one baby's life, it's well worth it. And it has. It's changed the minds of several women that have seen their baby. And so because of that, you do it one at a time. You try to cure the problem, and we can't cure the whole problem. But you save one, and you've done a good job.
That's right. And all of these things that we're talking about, the internet, God, I think God is the giver of all gifts, and anything that comes through mankind's knowledge and intelligence and wisdom and lived experience and all of that, all of those are gifts from God. And so they can be used for good or they can be misused. And there is no question, Debbie and Tom, that I believe God gave us the ultrasound at this time in human history because it was the pro-life question, the debate was getting to such a point where God seemed to think, you know, we need this one more slam dunk thing here. And if right. anybody wants to oppose it after that, then, you know, then they're right. really showing their true colors. So thanks be to God that he gave us technology like this.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Tom, for weighing in on this. And we have some text messages coming in from other folks of the Take Two family, and they agree with you, Tom, the ultrasound. So thank you for sharing that with us. God bless you and have a beautiful rest of your day. Jerry, real quickly, you just said something that just sparked something in my small brain. And that is when you were talking about how God steps in and allows this to, you know, to happen for us to understand better because we're going off the path so far off. Wouldn't you also say that is true with the fact that, he allowed Eucharistic miracles? We shouldn't have to have those, but we do. And it's really interesting. It's like the good Lord saying to us, come on, you guys, okay, I'll give it now right to you. Here's the Eucharistic miracle right from the heart muscle, right? You know, it's pretty amazing, and yet there's still people that don't believe.
Well, yeah, and God is that way. He so wants us to know him and love him and believe and have faith and live lives for him that, yes, I believe Eucharistic miracles are certainly another example of that. And we have, of course, disbelief in the Bible. You know, Thomas at the first post-resurrection appearance of the 11 I'm not sure if it may have been the 10, all the other apostles. My math may be off today, but you know, he doubted. He said, I won't believe until I see it. And then we also have a very curious passage at one of the description of Jesus' ascension into heaven. And I think it's at the end of Matthew's gospel where it says the apostles, they said, and they worshiped him, but some doubted. I mean, it's an interesting, you know, to have both of those two things right there. They know who Jesus is. They've seen him crucified. They've seen him raised from the dead. They've seen all his miracles. He descends into heaven, you know, right in front of their eyes, and still some of them doubted. So God, yeah, God sometimes looks at us and goes, okay, you need something else, a little bit more help to believe. Okay, here right. it is. Yeah.
Right. Human nature. Okay. So folks, we do have a chance for you to come on and share your take on this. You can repeat what somebody else said, maybe present a different angle to it. We love to have these conversations at 833-288-3986, but don't wait any longer because we don't want to leave you on the line when the clock runs out. Let's hear what Kathy has to say. And Kathy's in Columbus, Ohio on St. Gabriel Radio. Hi, Kathy, and welcome to Take Two.
Hi, guys. Thank you. I think one of the greatest inventions is the invention of flying. It amazes me how God inspired man to be able to get a ton of metal and steel up into the air and fly like a bird, which then gives us all the ability to visit around the world. It brings the four corners of the world together as almost a one community. We get to walk in places of history. And for me personally, we were blessed. I'm married to a wonderful Italian man, 100% Italian, and he had never been to Italy. So for one of our anniversaries, we went during the reign of the great Saint Pope John Paul II. So I had a wonderful audience with him. And that is one of the highlights of my life. But virtually as well, he was able to come to the United States where my family and I got to see him a couple of more times. And so if we didn't have that amazing invention, this would not be happening.
Right.
And I can't thank God enough for the gift of flying.
Wow. Yeah, great take, Kathy. You're absolutely right. You know, the ability to evangelize. I think of missionaries, for example, who would take days, weeks, months to get to the mission territory over rough seas and, you know, horrible terrain, and some of them maybe not living through the experience and all of that. So it has really, really enabled that. And then I think, too, this can tie into so many things. Medicine, for example. You hear sometimes mm-hmm. about someone who needs an organ replacement, and they'll extract one from maybe a person who's just died, and they'll put it on ice and fly it to somebody, you know, and get it in, you know, before it has a chance to go back. I mean, this kind of stuff, when you think about these things, wow, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm. I think, Debbie, I think flying is...
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. So, Kathy, please forgive me. It's my sense of humor, but you'll understand. You're Italian, so... Okay, so Kathy.
Well, my husband is, not me.
Oh, your husband. Well, okay, but the two shall become one, Kathy. So I'm sure you can cook sauce, right? It's probably good.
Yes.
Okay, so Kathy, you probably kind of cringe a little when you hear about the new Green Deal and stuff like that, where they want to take planes out of the air. And does that at all, you know, I mean, it's really an interesting thing when that Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez brought it up that, you know, this is possibly hurting our world and our climate. And yet you have benefited by bringing your husband over to Italy, by being with a pope that now is a saint. And that was all, because of you were able to fly over to Europe. So what do you think about that? I'm just curious.
No, I think that's pretty sad when people want to take away the great gifts that God has given us. Anything that has happened or occurred or been developed in our world, in our existence, has always been inspired by the Holy Spirit, by God, to men, to women, to take forth the challenge and develop and bring to fruition. So, no, the thought of taking the flight away from the world is just, would be such a sad occurrence if that ever happened, truly.
It would. It would. I have been on several pilgrimages to the Holy Land twice, and that never would have happened if I had to take a boat over there and then get off the boat and go by land.
Right.
So, anyway, thank you, Kathy. Great, great take on this topic here. Talking today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie about inventions, discoveries, advances made by humanity, mankind, that have been beneficial and perhaps most beneficial to Christianity, to the church, to Christians. So if you got a take on that, it's 833-288-3986. And a couple of emails have come in. Debbie, are you watching them, or do you want me to read?
No, you can read. I just wanted to say real quickly that, you know, when you're married to an Italian, you end up cooking really well, because it's usually the Italian that says to them, you know, this is how my grandmother made this sauce. Is that, you see? So you see how we're all connected? We're all about food, Jerry.
Well, that's a polite way of saying this better be good. Right?
It's true.
It is true. It is true.
Oh, we love to
Kevin,
eat.
One of our regular listeners, emailed take2@ewtn.com. Kevin said, hello, Jerry and Debbie. I have a unique take on the most important invention ever for the faith. So one definition of invention states something that has never been made before, or the process of creating something that has never been made before. So with that in mind, I consider the Holy Eucharist to be the most important invention for Christianity of all time.
Wow, I love that.
That's actually, it's even actually a
miraculous
happening when that takes place on the altar.
Right.
So Jesus gave that to us. And every time a priest consecrates the Eucharist, it's a representation of that wonderful and incredible gift that Jesus gave to us. So Kevin,
at Calvary. Who was that, Kevin?
Kevin, yeah. Thanks.
Wow.
Appreciate that.
I love the takes of our listeners. We have the best. Is there more that have come in? Because my screen has frozen.
Brian, our friend Brian in Buford, Georgia, says, as distasteful and terrible as it sounds, and I hate to even say it, is the invention of the crucifixion. He says, as terrible as it is the base and start of our faith, and without it, how would we have been saved? It gave us the symbol we use in our daily life and was the beginning of Christianity. God bless you guys.
Wow.
So, yeah,
wow.
It is, you're right, Brian, it's distasteful
barbaric,
and terrible. Yeah.
It was barbaric.
Just the very act of it, yeah, but yeah. The beautiful gift that Jesus gave us by surrendering himself to that, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Great,
wow.
Great. Yeah, thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Brian. Let's and thank you again, Kathy from Ohio. God bless you. Love St. Gabriel Radio. Okay, let's move to Donna, and Donna's in Tennessee, listening on the iHeart Radio app. Hi, Donna. Welcome.
Hi, Jerry and Debbie. First time I've talked air.
Oh, welcome.
I have emailed with y'all. You have graciously prayed for me. Love your show. Love the family.
Oh, thank you.
Thank
Thanks for
you,
calling
Donna.
In finally. What took you so long?
Yeah. Well, I'm shy. I felt I was bugging y'all in email too much, but I'm very grateful. My comment is, I want to comment that nearly all of the things we've talked about, and even some more we haven't talked about, whether it's ultrasound or the internet, it's a double-edged sword. It's a blessing and a curse, and it's the choice we make whether these are good or bad things, because the internet, you know, it has taken the porn industry to new heights. You can Google any sort of disgusting thing that you want to see or read about, and find it instantly. But you can also find the Bible. You can also find, I had not really understood what the Liturgy of the Hours was, and I looked it up. But it determines what kind of person you are, what you're using these things for, because you could also request an ultrasound to see if your baby is, quote, defective, or you could use an ultrasound to marvel at the creation. And
right,
it is in that choice that we see who we are and who we serve.
Yeah, it's so often been said, Donna, that God, I like to say we worship a risky God. And what I mean by that is, first of all, he created us with free will, and that's the only way it could be, because we have to freely choose him or it's not really love. But I said that about the ascension of Jesus, after his mission on earth as well. Jesus says, now you guys take it and run with it. And I'm going, okay, Jesus, you're a really risky God there, because look at some of the problems that have taken place. But you're right. It comes down to the agent, meaning me, meaning you, meaning Debbie, the agent and what we choose to do with that. For example, any one of us could go out into our kitchen right now and pick up a steak knife. You know, I ate a steak the other night, and I used a knife to cut it with, and that knife was used for a really good purpose and a really yummy purpose. That same steak knife could be used for very horrible reasons, as we know. So, Debbie, I think Don is making a point here that we touched upon early in the show. None of this can be separated from the ethics of human choices.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about that earlier in the show, Donna, and we had mentioned that about this double-edged sword. And, you know, and our friend from New Jersey, Gigi, just beat me to this. I was actually going to share. This is why the Catholic Church is so adamant about having us all have well-formed consciences, you know, really understand what we, you know, I love what you said, Donna. It's who we are and who we serve. Very interesting. And when you have self-serving things that enter in, greed, money, all sorts of things that are very opposed to what God wants for us on the road to sainthood, then all these things start to happen. It's a slippery slope. It just gets worse and worse. And before you know it, you can't turn it back. So I totally agree with you. I've always said that the internet is the devil's playground. And people always say, Debbie, now stop saying that because it's done such great things. I agree. But it's also allowed people in the privacy of their own homes to do this kind of really bad stuff for their souls and think it's okay because it's at their fingertips. So I think we're in agreement on that, Donna. Is there anything else you want to share about this? Because maybe, you know, young folks are listening right now and they could really kind of, you know, keep themselves in check maybe.
Well, and it's the internet and having the iPad and the iPod, you know, the telephone, the telephone, that tells you how old I am, the cell phone right at your ear, in your lap, in your face, at the dinner table, in the pew. We really need to think about this. I mean, there's whole generations growing up that they don't see their parents' eyes because they're looking down at a screen, and vice versa. Children and parents whose eyes don't meet, you see them waiting for tables at restaurants. You know, they're not talking to each other. They're all on a device. I think this is probably the greatest challenge of our time, as well as the greatest blessing, how to manage this technology for the good without losing interpersonal relationships. Because without the interpersonal relationships, you know, that's not holy. That's not what God wants.
Absolutely. Donna, great take. And what you and Debbie were saying, just I could just, you know, affirm that by saying, you know, it's so often the case that when something that we know as being so used for evil and so forth, you go back to the person who created it or discovered it or identified it, and they were innocent and they just wanted to give mankind another great advance and for human efficiency and all of this stuff, and then it's people who just kind of take it and run in whatever different direction. So that's really a lot of the ways that people don't invent things necessarily just because with evil intention, but I think that develops. Mm-hmm. Afterwards.
Yep.
And Debbie, Kurt said via email, Kurt, by the way, excuse me, he said, did anyone mention the printing press yet? Yes.
Several
Kurt.
Times.
Yeah. The printing press was a very important invention.
Absolutely. Thank you again, Donna. God bless you. Don't be a stranger. You can email us, call us anytime. We're here for you. Okay. Sandra, help me with that, in Cassville, Wisconsin, on Sirius XM 130. Also a first time caller. Is it Sandra?
Yes, it is.
Yay! I got it right the first time. Welcome to your show.
Thank you. You
So in my opinion, the printing press has changed everything. Without the printing press, the Bible wouldn't be in far areas of the world. We wouldn't be able to sneak it into China and spread the word. Yes, we have all the modern, you know, the cell phone, the TV, et cetera. But that Bible is something that you can hold in your hand and you can smuggle it in to different places and spread the word. So that's my vote for the printing press.
Well, we think very highly of that as well, Sandra, and you heard me mention Kurt's email a minute ago and someone else earlier in the program. And thanks be to God for that. And, you know, it's almost actually a little bit of an apologetics fact when you talk about when the printing press was invented, was I think the 1500s or something, because, you know, Catholics believe that there is tradition that goes along with Scripture and the Magisterium as the, kind of the three pillars of what we believe, whereas many Christians, God bless them, beautiful people, think it might be just the Bible only. But, Debbie, I mean, the average person did not have access to the Bible for, gosh, about the first three-fourths of how long Christianity has gone on. For now. So, yeah.
Very true. Very true. Well, Sandra, you'll know that you're in good company. We probably, I think if we had to have a poll going, the printing press came in number one. So we learned a lot. Thank you so much. We appreciate the phone call. God bless you. Have a beautiful rest of your day. Okay, Jerry, I got to say something. I'm going to strike a nerve and chord with some people here. Okay, so remember this whole thing about how when people are born a male or born a female, but they identify with the opposite sex, and then they said, okay, now I'm going to go through this transition surgery, the transgender thing just came, you know, alive in our world, and everybody said, well, but that's what they identify with, right? Well, now males that were born males that identify now as women that have gone through the process are now dominating the women's sports. Okay. And now it's all over the news. Isn't it sad? Women's sports are going to be taken off the face of the earth. And you know what? And I just very off the cuff said, too bad. You should have thought of this before you went along with everything, thinking that it was something that is a good thing in the long run. So really, you know, it's interesting. I use that as an example, Jerry. You know, people aren't thinking maybe 10 steps down the road of what this could mean for humanity.
Right, and that's a great example of that. And it's so ironic, but not ironic, I think it's God's providence that you brought that up, because I was struck by the first reading at Mass this morning. And I wanted to find a way to weave it into the program, and I thought, well, I'm not really sure how that's going to be, but you just actually opened the door for me. And the reading is from 2 Corinthians 3, right around verse 15. He says, therefore, since we have this ministry through the mercy shown us, we are not discouraged. And even though our gospel is veiled, it is veiled for those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And it struck me, and I thought, so many times, Debbie, we think, why is it so hard for this person who is so in favor of, you know, embryonic stem cell research or abortion or transgenderism? Why is it so hard for them to see it? There's part of your answer right there. God actually allows that to happen to some people for whatever reason. I just say, you know, but for the grace of God, go I. It could so easily be me. It could so easily be you.
True.
So we need to understand, we need to sympathize, but we also need to, you know, like you're doing right there on the radio, Deb, we need to stand up and be a voice for things like this.
Mm-hmm. Speak the truth. Yeah. In love. Yeah. Wow. So that was this morning's reading?
Okay. Yeah, this morning.
Okay. Wow. Beautiful. See how it all works out? The Holy Spirit has a way of making everything happen. This is why the take two is just organically unfolds. Thanks to you all. You have been such a great family. 4 years is our anniversary this Saturday. Tomorrow, Jerry, we are launching the after show after another great topic that we're going to discuss on take two. And then we're going to go right to the after show to kind of test it out. It's really exciting. And it's when has God moved a mountain for you? When has God appeared so magnificently and moved that mountain just for you? It's going to be a great show tomorrow.
Well, we need you to come strong tomorrow because we got the live show here on EWTN and the affiliates, and the lines are always packed for this show, so we thank you for that. But we're going to, again, we believe this is a topic of conversation that must go on, and you will determine that. You'll determine that by your volume of calls tomorrow on the EWTN show. But, yeah, and Debbie and I did a little sample test video yesterday, late afternoon. You'll find that on the Jerry and Debbie website, so a little glimpse into what the after show is going to look and feel like, and we got a lot more work to do on that, Debbie. But it is getting close, and we thank all those who are anxious for it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we want to keep the conversation going, and we want to share, you know, your takes and your emails, and, you know, just time doesn't permit that on the hour show. So for those conversations that Jerry said, like, I agree, need to go on, we're going to take this on with you. So please make sure you like us on Facebook. Find us, Jerry and Debbie on Facebook. Like it, and then share it with your friends. Ask them to like it as well. It's just so much fun to grow the family.
All right, again, as Debbie said, has God moved a mountain for you, or mountains? Sometimes it just, and there's a great song, if I remember, I'm going to try and post a link on the website. It's by Elevation Worship, and the song is called Do It Again, and I like to listen to the live version. It's about 10 and a half minutes long.
Wow.
And they just really belt it out, you know, that God has, you know, moved mountains. He says, you know, I've seen you move mountains, and I know I'll see you do it again. So look up that video online. It's by Elevation Worship called Do It Again, and I'll try and post that to the website tomorrow, link to that anyway. So, wow, this show went flying by today, Debbie, I thought.
It did, and we learned a lot. We grew, got a little bit closer to God, hopefully. And so tomorrow we're looking forward to you again to come back and participate in tomorrow's show and hopefully join us for the after show. God bless you all. We just hope you just have a glorious day. Until tomorrow, we'll see you real soon.